Hey lovers, welcome to episode 14. In today's episode, we want to touch on a taboo, anti-blackness, and especially anti-blackness among people of color. We want to tackle how good old white supremacy is even in the heads of people that are oppressed, take a deep look inside, and learn that acknowledging our differences makes us invincible.
Hello, lovers. So exciting to have you back on another episode of Vocal About It. Today, we're going to touch on anti-blackness within other people of color, and there's so many things that we need to share with you. And as always, we are first going to start with celebrating black women and women of color who are doing amazing things in the European continent. And I'm going to start with a beautiful, talented, super inspiring woman whose name is Thais Muniz. She's a Brazilian sister living in Dublin for a few years and also the founder of Turbantes, which could be translated to head wrapping yourself. She's a researcher and a creator who studied the history and the ancestry of head wraps. And so she created a series of workshops for black women to teach them the various ways to wearing a head wrap and also the history behind it. How do our ancestors wear it and for which purposes? And for example, there's a lot of very strong history and culture around Afro-Brazilian women from Bahia. And that's an area that's really well known for strong and beautiful culture inspired from slaves who were shipped there back in the days and who were the creative of amazing Afro-Brazilian culture, religion, music, art, and many things. And she really links all of this to head wrap wearing, which I find is an absolutely beautiful thing. I've only recently started to wear a head wrap myself, and I just find it such a gorgeous aesthetics and great accessory to have as a black woman, and I'm very proud of that culture. So I was lucky to meet Thais not too long ago because I was live translating a presentation that she did here in Brussels during the Africalia Festival, and she's just one of the most inspiring, cool, stylish, very warm, and just lovely, very talented woman that I wanted to celebrate today. So do check her work. You can follow her on Instagram at Thais Muniz Thais, so that's Thais Muniz Thais again. And on Facebook, Turbantes, you can find, so that's Turbant.se. Go for it, celebrate the sister, and make sure to follow everything she does.
Awesome. So I am going to celebrate two women of color / black women today. I was at an amazing workshop at the University of Vienna, organized by an old friend of us that we celebrated in the episode about mental health.
Yes,
the psychologist running the mental health network for POC called Wir sind auch Wien, Parissima Thierry Maynard, together with Farah Saad. And it was just such a brilliant happening, having like a dozen of women of color and black women in the room in such a white institution. This alone was an act of resistance, and it was just the best. And there we collected resources, and Farah quoted a list of resources on anti-blackness in POC spaces. And this is how I got to the first woman of color that I want to celebrate today, whose name is Sunanda Mesquita, who is a queer femme of color with Indian and Swiss roots, living and working in Vienna on art spaces for black artists and artists of color, as they very rarely get access to art spaces in this very white city. Together with Jacqueline Ajiji, she co-founded We Day X Space, which is a permanent self-organized art and community space focusing on healing and art. And the thing, for this to happen, they had to team up with two white friends and fellow artists to create this space, because without them, they wouldn't have been able to even rent a location. And she says something that I found extremely powerful to start this episode with, especially when black people and people of color come together in alliance to work around topics such as healing and empowerment. We non-black POCs have the responsibility to work on ourselves without relying on the emotional labor of black people. This is why she co-created an amazing list of resources to tackle anti-blackness that is for POC only. Really cool resources that I want to share with you. We also will give you the email address where you can contact them in case you are a person of color and want to be part of this list. So another quote that I have for you is, Anti-blackness is a structure that is interwoven in our societies in general that doesn't exclude queer POC communities. Very important, because you might think so. We non-black POCs have to learn to act up against anti-black structures and notions in our activism, relationships, families, and friend circles. Because they were very grateful for all the work and effort that was invested by black people who continuously show love and care in calling us in, not out, and sharing their experiences and knowledge. And without the knowledge of those black people, it would have been unthinkable to put together this amazing list that I already had the privilege to look at, and the articles would not exist in the first place. They hope that the list will grow in the future, adding different resources in various languages and media. So you can write them an email to we.dayin@gmail.com with links that you would wish to include or critique, that you have towards the content, and let's make this list grow bigger and better together, far away from the white gaze. And the second woman I want to celebrate today is the black woman in your life. The one who is always there when you need her, knowing exactly what to do, saying exactly the right things, knowing what it takes to heal, and knowing how to plot delicious revenge against any injustice against you. You don't do this enough, so go get your phone right now, or even better yet, take her out to dinner and say thank you, because she's worth it. Tell her she's beautiful, tell her she's allowed to not be strong for once, tell her that she deserves a break, tell her that she's enough, that she's oh so much more than enough. That you, for once, have her back, and that you will come at her enemies with the heat of 1,000 suns so that she can unwind and work her black girl magic. This is for you.
Oh, girl, this is so nice. I love it. This is dope. It's so ultra cool. Did you write this?
Yes.
Girl, what the fuck? So cool. That's super beautiful. Thanks, babe.
My pleasure.
Lovers, welcome to another episode of Vocal About It. Today we are going to talk about something that's a bit touchy and that has been a bit taboo in a lot of communities of POC. And just as a little vocabulary introduction for those of you who are not familiar with this, when we talk about POC, we talk about people of color. And that can include black people, people from Southeast Asian descent, people from South American descent, from African descent, a lot of different things. And what we're going to talk about today is non-black POC, basically any other person of color that is not black, and their internalized racism, specifically anti-blackness. So to start with, we just wanted to both share our individual but also our common journey when it comes to all this. So as for me, I always thought of myself as, someone who really wanted to change things when it comes to racism, bring people of color together and just creating change. And I know that we are the change, actually. But I have to say that until not so long ago, I always thought that it's not exactly, necessary to differentiate the experiences of black people and other people of color. Until I went to this beautiful event that my beloved friend Isaiah Lopez, please do check his art and everything, he does is amazing, sending much love, babe, invited me to this really cool event that was basically a retreat for black people and people of color who are into art and activism. And we would both meet, it was an exchange between Brussels and Berlin, so a lot of people from Berlin came to Brussels and we all met between Brussels and Antwerp during a whole weekend. And I went to one particular discussion where the setting was basically you have four chairs in the middle, and that's the inner circle, and then you have a bigger circle around. And the people in the inner circle would just, change, go back on the outer circle, and just basically create a conversation among themselves. And so what was beautiful is that many different perspectives came in. So at some point, the conversation got to the differentiation of naming, in the sense that do we say BPOC for black people and people of color in the same sentence? Do we say just people of color and just know for ourselves that there's a different perspective and experience? And I remember being in the inner circle and discussing with a few other activists and artists, and I was saying that, you know what, actually, for me, right now, the naming doesn't matter so much. We just know that we need to respect ourselves and to respect the different experiences within our struggles, in the sense that, for example, as a cis hetero black woman, I do share a lot of experience when it comes to racism and sexism, but I do not feel any queerphobia or transphobia or any of this. Yeah. So I guess my point was, we don't need to start discussing naming. And I remember saying that It's an expression that my sister used to love to use, which is the devil is in the house. If we start discussing naming and stuff, I mean, this is deriving us from the main actual fight that we need to be fighting. And then a few of the people in the room were like, well, you know, actually naming is quite important and we really need to make sure that we all deconstruct that for ourselves because we need to take everything from the Black perspective. And I'm really thankful for that because that really was the start of my deconstruction when it comes to this and the naming and how important it actually is, because when you name things, you can actually talk about it. And when you talk about it, you can start the work of who's actually suffering from what kind of different oppressions. My point is, I'll come back to that later in the podcast with some stats and everything, but the Black perspective should be the very bottom perspective that we see everything from, because Black people are like no other demographic suffering up in this bitch, basically. And in this society. So now it's you know, also part of why we've changed, and you'll see this in the different episode description. We've changed our naming in the way we describe things, and we always make sure that we say, you know, Black people and people of color, and not just people of color, because that's invisibilizing mm-hmm. invisibilizing the experience of Black people.
Thing is, I think I understood for the first time that anti-Blackness had a very specific place in our society's racist conversations and practices, because people started talking to me about Black people and were talking shit about them to me, which I found really odd, because all of a sudden I was in a situation where I was like, who do you think you're talking to? I'm a person of color myself, so But somewhat they were making a distinction where all of a sudden it wasn't like me and Black people, but it was me and them against Black people. It wasn't us versus them that they had created because I'm fair skinned and they somewhat saw me as part of their class and used this to divide me from the people that actually have very similar experiences than me. But then again, they don't, because obviously these people weren't talking about me when they were talking about whatever the village version they were creating there. It was Black people. And this was a mechanism to move me closer to white people and to tell me this lie that if only I adapt and if only I don't say anything, then I will be spared or something. And I think that is super dangerous because, number one, they will not spare me. And number two, I understood that it's really easy to just don't do anything in face of anti-Blackness. I could just sit there and I could just like let this moment slip away where, I don't know, friends of my parents were talking trash about people in Africa, or other POC that I met at the university, or I don't know, in a taxi, would just like switch the topic and talk about Black people, and I could just sit there and not say anything. And this is when I realized that this is not just something that white people need to confront. This is also something that I, even though I'm oppressed by racism too, still I have it in my mind and I have the option to opt out of these conversations. Whereas a Black person will never have this mm-hmm. privilege. And yeah, that really made me think.
Yes, and I think that happened to be because anyways, Sarah and myself just, you know, are constantly in touch and do a lot of work for the podcast anyways. We ended up talking about this together, me about my experience with the artists and activists on this Brussels and Berlin exchange, and her about a lot of different experiences. And we had this realization basically together, and we thought the importance of really changing our vocabulary. And we just really want to be transparent with all of you, especially with our sisters who are listening, because it's a journey and nobody comes here being the ultra wokest person out there. You know, we don't know everything and we're not experts. We are experts of our lives, that's for sure. But we're also just learning and decolonizing our minds, like we always say, and deconstructing all of these things for ourselves. So we're just very happy to share the journey with all of y'all.
Mm-hmm. I actually want to share a story that I experienced only recently when I was in Berlin in the summer. And it was absurdly hot. That is true. I was walking down the street and there was a Black man who was not handling the heat well. And it was really hot. So granted. But also I think he had, it must have been something mental health related. So it looked like he had a nervous breakdown and he was screaming and there was a part of a chair that he was holding in his hand, but it was very clear that he didn't pose a public threat to anyone. I remember standing a white girl beside him on the phone, not giving a flying fuck. So it clearly wasn't a dangerous situation. It was just, this person needed help. Then a DBOC, a dude bro of color, came by and on his bike and saw this black man screaming and he stopped and he started pointing fingers and then he started a conversation with all the white people around him and was like, oh, what is going on here, blah, 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 so dangerous and whatnot. And then he started to call the police. And when the police finally came, he came forward, he was applauding and screaming like, finally, finally, and then used a version of the N-word in German. Somebody locks him up and it was just such a grotesque experience. And I came towards him after and I said like, what the fuck were you doing? You were locking a brother up. Couldn't you see that he needed help, that you should have called an ambulance? But what you were actually doing was you were just throwing him under the bus. Do you know what's going to happen to him now in police custody? Like, nothing good. You should know. You do know. And it was really shocking for me because you could just so clearly see how desperately he wanted to have this like white gratification that he is not one of them, that white people should show him like solidarity and he would be a part of them and he was so well adapted or whatnot. And this also really made me think, because I think that this is also part of this lie I was referring to earlier, that if only you adapt well enough, they will not come after you, which is complete bullshit, because look out your window, dear friend. In Europe, the streets are already burning and Nazis are already marching on the streets. Do you think they will stop in front of you because you once threw a brother under the bus? Like, your skin, you can't save it. Like, literally. But more importantly, you should be on the right side of history, because it's not just about you. It's about all of us. And you might like get away out of this situation once, but at the end of the day, it's about us being closer together and rejecting this lie that if you're on the side of the oppressor, you will get away with it. Because that's simply not true. And if we want to show solidarity to each other, we have to integrate this and we have to understand that we can only strive and we can only confront all this bullshit when we are united. But in the way that we acknowledge that we are all different. And yeah, I found it really heartbreaking and shocking that a person of color would be so brutal to somebody whose experience I thought wasn't so different. And then I realized, oh, well, but it is. But it is.
It very much is. One of the evil things that white supremacy put into place extremely well is to really always systematically put whiteness at the very top. And what that means is out there, there is a hierarchy. So even if you're a person of color that is non-black, there is all of that shit that you need to deconstruct for yourself. Because deep down, you will see your black brothers and sisters as inferior. That's just the way things are put up out there for centuries now. So that's why you need to be doing the work. Because if not, shit like this happen. And there's also another thing of that white supremacy put into place is the model minority. A model minority, and I don't want to generalize, but you know, in a lot of different societies, for example, are going to be the North Asians. Yeah. So if I'm in the same class and I'm actually, which, you know what, this was the case when I was back in elementary school. When I was in elementary school, I had 1 year earlier, I was really smart, extremely shy too, though. But it was just such a surprise for the teachers when all of my friend from Chinese descent, from Japanese descent, were scoring, you know, average or above. It was like, yeah, but I mean, you know, there must be something going on with them, because usually they're doing so well and stuff. And what that means is, because of all the stereotypes that are out there, you are being socialized in a certain way, and you know who's superior to you, who's inferior to you. And this starts extremely early in your life, through your family, through your socialization at school, later on in life, through your relationships, through your work, and all of these things. And what happens is that because everybody wants to be white or as close as possible to whiteness, you can have some very dangerous behaviors. And this is why it's extremely important to recognize, acknowledge this, and also make sure to face your non-black POC fragility. Yes, we talked about white fragility in the episode of white fragility, which is a concept. And when your black friend or when other POC who have done the work are calling you out on this, you should sit down and reflect and think and really make sure that you don't represent a threat to you, you know, any black people out there, because that's, we have enough. And that brings me to colorism, which is a concept, maybe I'll just illustrate it, for example, but I am a black woman, but I am not the darkest skinned black woman that exists out there. And I do know that I have privilege because of that, because the darkest your skin is, the more you're going to face racism, discrimination, and a lot of different extremely racist experience will happen to you. That's just a fact. What happens as well is that even within the black community, the lighter skinned black people are going to be preferred, they're going to be seen as more beautiful. A lot of people are going to want to date them versus dating a dark-skinned black person. They're going to get more jobs opportunity as well. A lot of black people are fetishizing mixed-skinned babies as well, for example, if you see on Instagram. So there's a lot of things that even us black people need to deconstruct, decolonize our mind when it comes to colorism, and just make sure that we see any shades of black as equal and as beautiful and as worthy as they are. So that's just in the black community itself. So imagine how it actually plays out in the whole POC community. It's a lot. It's a lot, and it's really important to talk about it and to make sure we all do the work.
I recently saw this really amazing documentary about Toni Morrison's life called The Pieces I Am. And there I heard for the first time this expression of the master narrative, which is the narrative that the powerful in one society tells you are true. And I think one of those master narratives is that non-white people are all the same. Non-white also implies this because there is only white and everybody else, saying that there is basically no difference between them. But in fact, there is.
Indeed. There is this amazing Galdem article that I invite all of you to go check out. It's called Anti-Blackness in POC Communities. And part of it says that as a non-black person, you have privilege. Privilege is something you do not have control over. It is the category by which you are classified by patriarchy, and I want to add white supremacy, which promotes white, cis, heterosexual men at the top. From this, I just really wanted to make sure, and you know how I roll, I like to have stats and figures and data when I talk about shit so that y'all don't come at me saying that I just talk about my personal experience, and also just to make sure that we know it's real and it's not just in France and little Belgium, it's everywhere. So, in France, if you're black or from North African descent, you are 20 times more likely to be controlled by the police. 20 times. In Belgium, black people are the most educated group, particularly black women, but their unemployment rate is 4 times higher than white Belgians. In Portugal, young black people between the ages of 18 and 25 are only half as likely to go to university as white Portuguese. And the incarceration rate in Portugal is 15 times as high for people with African descent. In Sweden, Afro-Swedes, it's been proven, are not provided with the same opportunities as the rest of the Swedish population, where by their own efforts through getting higher education, so in comparison to the rest of the population, Afro-Swedes find themselves in a state of unemployment at a higher rate, for example. At EU level, and that's from the report of Being Black in the EU, that was based basically on almost the testimony and the experience of 6,000 people of African descent in 12 of the EU member states, that confirms that black people are exposed to more discrimination than the general European population. The report found that being black in the EU meant facing not only systemic racism, but also discrimination in the labor market, wages, housing, and even hospitals. Brazil, a young black man dies every 23 minutes. So by the time of this episode, we would have lost 2+ black brothers. There's also a lot of anti-blackness in India, in China, and basically in many parts of the world. I just want to touch also on the lives of our indigenous brothers and sisters who represent 5% of the world's population, but they account for 15% of the world's poorest people. They're among the people who are gone missing the most. In Canada, for example, they're treated miserably in the US for centuries now. But black people represent the demographic that have been suffering the most in terms of being displaced, being put into slavery, and suffering systemic racism to this day, and basically being maintained in very precarious situation. And because of this, we need to emphasize on the fact that the black experience and perspective is the one that needs to be taken care of in a very specific way and differentiated from other POCs' experience.
Yeah, and you know, I really feel people who, I mean, of course, because I'm one of those who are oppressed on one level. And I think it's very easy to then just get somewhat stuck in this feeling of, but I get oppressed and I want my oppression to be acknowledged. And when somebody else comes and say, hey, yeah, that's true, but there is another level of oppression in my experience, then it's very hard to somewhat overcome this and acknowledge the pain of somebody else. And I think it's really super important to understand that nothing is taken away from your personal pain by understanding that somebody else is still in a different position. And this is basically what this is about, understanding that, yeah, I'm oppressed too, but still I hold privilege compared to a black woman. And yeah, we all gotta do the work.
We all gotta do the work, and it's basically the same concept and deconstruction work as white fragility and the things that white people need to be doing. And I also want to talk about the fact that it's important to deconstruct all kind of privileges. So I'm talking to you from a perspective of a hetero, cis, black woman who is well-traveled, well-educated. Yes, I have quite unstable family, and yes, I've had some struggles in my life. But speaking four languages, being hetero and cis, make my life way easier than any other sisters out there who are, for example, queer, who are, for example, not that educated, who don't have normative bodies, for example, or some sisters who are just not working at the moment because they're struggling to find employment despite their two masters and one PhD or so. So it's really important that each of us do the work and really set our set of privileges for ourselves and make sure that we, yeah, just basically do the work.
So, speaking for all POC in the room, I'm gonna do the work and tell you now what you can do. If you're a person of color and if you want to make life easier for your black friends and confront your anti-blackness and also be a good ally, here's what you can do. Number one, unpack your shit. Do the work, spare your black friends resources, and take a look inside. Understand how you've benefited from the oppression of black people and make yourself aware of your own anti-black ideas. Yes, it's true, we've all been raised in a society that is deeply anti-black. That doesn't mean that we should not get actively rid of it. And this is the first step of unlearning it. Get over your fragility. Stop whataboutism and not all POC when somebody confronts you about your anti-blackness, and stop shedding salty tears over good intentions, because this is shit that you would call white people out immediately for. So cut the crap, you're better than that. Or are you? Shut up and listen closely when your black friends point out problematic or oppressive behavior. Understand that this is coming from a loving place, because if they didn't want to keep you in their lives, they would have outright dropped and ghosted you. Be thankful for the work and courage to bring this up. Number four, check your privilege. Understand how your position enables you to lift others up, speak up more safely, break down walls, and open up spaces that you have easier access to because of your privilege. Understand your privilege as a toolkit that you can share with others, like, for example, the fact that you speak English, the fact that you understand codes of a professional setting, that you know how to talk, for example, to journalists, to write a powerful media pitch, or a university proposal, or simply the fact that you have contacts to spheres that black people around you might not have. Share your powerful connections, recommend your black friends, and give them the knowledge that you have about the spaces that you open up to them. Speak up when faced with anti-blackness. Talk to your friends and family and educate them. Just as you want your white friends to confront people in their lives with racist assumptions, do the job when you see anti-black sentiment. Understand that yes, you're oppressed too, but still at the same time you do hold significant amount of privilege that other, namely black people, do not. Acknowledge that. This is not about a hierarchy. This is about acknowledging difference, understanding it, learning from it, and making spaces safe and accessible for everybody. Yes, society treats you with unkindness, and yes, it's been a long and painful way until you found your voice to speak up against it, but nothing of this is taken away from you when you acknowledge and understand somebody else's pain, and nothing of it absolves you from your responsibility to do just that. Learn to get over yourself. This is about more than just you. Yes, we have in common that we fight against racism, but we do have very different experiences, and acknowledging them only makes us stronger. And the very last thing is, I want to end on a note of our beloved Auntie Audre Lorde. It is not our differences that divide us, it is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. Have a nice day!
Love it! Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Vocal About It. If you're digging our real talks, show these sisters some love. Talk about the podcast to people around you, give us a little 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, drop some comments on SoundCloud or any other podcast platform you're listening on. Do follow us on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @vocalabout_it. And if you have any questions, love declarations, or that you want to partner for some cool shit, drop us a good old email at vocalaboutit@gmail.com.